Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Si, senor. Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, September 27th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today, the Catholic Church celebrates the memorial of St. Vincent de Paul, the French 17th century priest known as the patron of Catholic charities for his apostolic work among the poor and among the marginalized. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what is the big story making headlines on this Tuesday morning?
Hurricane Ian headed up the Gulf Coast of Florida. Lots of listeners with lots of relevant radio stations in that area, John. And folks are bracing for what could be a pretty big storm.
Yeah, now we have some audio from the Weather Channel. We'll see what the latest is.
Hurricane Ian is now a major hurricane with winds of 125 miles per hour as it moves over western Cuba, and this storm is not done strengthening. We could be looking at a landfall early Thursday morning in and around the Tampa Bay area. Also, we're expecting there to be a tornado threat east of the center of circulation of this storm, and not just that, but rain is going to be a major impact with this storm expected to slow down before landfall. We will see copious amounts of rain. Some areas could see well over a foot.
Well, Glenn, there you have it. That's the latest thanks to the Weather Channel. And obviously, this is a very dangerous storm. It's already causing havoc as a Category 3 storm across the parts of western Cuba, headed straight for the Sunshine State. As you said, we have numerous relevant radio listeners in Florida. So all I ask is please listen to all the warnings. This is a dangerous storm. And I know that Governor DeSantis has declared a statewide emergency all throughout the state. Big concerns for flooding, especially, and the winds at 125 miles an hour. I mean, we're talking serious winds.
And to just water with the storm surge expected to be up upwards of possibly 10 feet in the Tampa Bay area, and a slow-moving storm, so a lot of rain. So between the surge as well as just massive amounts of rainfall, things get pretty inundated in a hurry.
We will keep all of our brothers and sisters in the state of Florida in our prayers this morning and for the next 24 hours. Meanwhile, this is it. This is our last show from our Relevant Radio Park Ridge studios here in suburban Chicago. Tomorrow, we start a new chapter of Morning Air history with our first broadcast from our new state-of-the-art studios at our new Relevant Radio National Headquarters. Just up the road in Lincolnshire, Illinois. This is, you know, it's have a little bit of sentiments. I'm a little bit sentimental here this morning, saying goodbye to this wonderful little studio that has served us so well since I took over the controls here of Morning Air last year.
Yeah, it's been a good time, and we've been able to kind of break ourselves into the seats and everything, so now we'll have to break in into a new seat.
Yeah, and Glenn, you know what I was thinking? This kind of reminds me of, like, you know, when a ball club leaves an old ballpark, you know? It's like, imagine, like, the Dodgers when they left Ebbets Field to go to L.A., you know? And there's always that little bit of nostalgia, you know, for the old place, but we look forward to our brand-new ballpark, so to speak, our brand-new facility in Lincolnshire. It is absolutely fantastic. It's beautiful, state-of-the-art, you know, and we couldn't do it without our Relevant Radio listeners and their tremendous generosity.
Oh, I think it's the stadium equivalent of SoFi Stadium out in L.A.
There you go.
State-of-the-art, and should keep Relevant Radio in good stead electronically for a long time to come.
Absolutely, and we'll be talking about our new studios in the upcoming days, and as we launch tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of monitors in that studio for those who love technology, so we continue on. Thanks, as always, Glenn and Sarah.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every program, every hour, always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always asking through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every single morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 3:5. Jesus the Lord says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear that we must be born again of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of heaven. This verse reminds us of the reality that baptism is the foundation of our Christian life, the beginning of our life in Christ as Catholics. Baptism removes the stain of original sin and is the door through which all the other sacraments flow. Our Lord himself said that he who is baptized will be saved. So let's appreciate this gift from God of being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can always find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. And now it's time for another Tech Tuesday. Hey, listen up, all you gaming lovers, all you gaming fans. When it comes to gaming, we've come a long way from the days of Super Mario Brothers back in 1985 to this.
Take a close look at this scene. It looks just like any other movie scene, but it's actually a recreation of a scene in The Matrix. But it's made entirely within a game engine. Yeah, so what, you might be thinking. You might also be thinking, while tech demos look realistic, they're always pre-rendered and they use visual tricks just to make it seem more realistic. But what if I told you that this was running in real time and running on console hardware right now, today, on the PS5, Xbox Series X, and even Series S? Scenes like this highlight what's so exciting about Unreal Engine 5 by Epic Games.
What technology can do is absolutely amazing, and sometimes it is unreal. Joining us live is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, to talk about how the future of gaming has arrived with Unreal Engine 5 technology. And also, he's going to give us a preview of the Christmas tech deals that are coming up. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20-plus years of technology, new product development experience. For all things faith and tech, you can always follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us on another Tech Tuesday. It is great to be with you once again.
Great to be with you. Happy Tech Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark. I want to talk about why you feel that the future of gaming has arrived. It was fun to hear that Super Mario audio at the top. What a reminder of how far we've come.
Yeah, and I'm of the era, John. I'm 48 years old. I don't mind sharing my age. I played Pong, right? I played Pong as a kid. I played Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man. I ate pizza at pizza restaurants where there were sit-down Pac-Man console tables.
Probably Chuck E. Cheese.
The nostalgia. Chuck E. Cheese. Shakey's had those Pac-Man tables where you could sit down, eat your pizza, and play video games. What is so unreal about the Unreal Engine is let's just take a moment and just say, wow, we are given the gift by our Lord and Savior and our Creator God to co-create here in the world. I encourage all of the creative Catholics out there and Christians to embrace new forms of technology to bring your vision, your creativity, your artistic gifts into the world. This set of new tools that we have available to us in this new modern era is so powerful and impressive, and it can bring forth very cool, new, uplifting, and inspiring forms of entertainment. We can use these tools just like the video game industry as a whole. It doesn't have to be violent games, horror games. It can be for comedy, for faith, for uplifting messages as well. So Unreal Engine by Epic Games, this set of tools are like crafting objects in a real world setting with lighting and detail that has up till this point required supercomputer hardware kind of engines to make the images real life appearance on the screen. The piece of audio that we played is so important. It is Epic Games is demonstrating that this engine is available for anyone and everyone to license and use for basic console games or PC games or for home entertainment. Let's also, not only is this technology maturing, but it's maturing in a video game industry that for years now has surpassed the revenue of the film industry. We've covered this about 7 years ago on Tech Tuesday, the moment at which the gaming industry surpassed the film industry for entertainment dollars per year was an inflection point that has not stopped. As a matter of fact, in 2020, when the film industry revenue went to zero for movies in a movie theater, the video game industry hit a new record at $56 billion in revenue that year. 2020, $56 billion. Last year, 2021, a new record, $60 billion in revenue.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's no small change. That is a lot of revenue.
Exactly. So what does the industry do when it is bringing in that kind of revenue? It attracts talent. Okay. So there are very talented people from across the world and around our country who are attracted by the tools and the revenue of this industry. To create, to be co-creators with our Creator God.
I love that perspective, by the way. I just wanted to interject my thoughts. I love that you put it in that context, that we are co-creators with God, because ultimately we have to recognize that God is the creator, but he gives us these tremendous gifts and now these tremendous tools that seem like something from a sci-fi movie, 30 years ago.
You got it. You got it. I totally agree. So coming back to these tools, so you've got this industry who, with tons of dollars that can attract very talented people. God-given talents are flooding into this industry from around the world and around the country. And what you now have is a set of tools that is easier to use and more easily seen on mainstream screens that produces things like the Unreal Engine. The Unreal Engine produces movie quality detail from a video game. Instead of having a very clear focused foreground and a blurry background to save computing power, you don't need to worry about that. The engine, the algorithms within this engine itself allow every piece of detail in an entire city to be at full resolution. Trillions of trapezoids. So there's a funny commercial out there where we're crunching trapezoids now. But when you zoom into any image on any computer rendered game or video, what you see is just a ton of tiny polygons and trapezoids all linked together. And you actually have algorithms that mimic real physics to make those trapezoids and polygons move with respect to each other in real life fashion using real life physics. You then pile onto that another set of tools that control the lighting across someone's face, across an object that's in motion, and it becomes much more realistic to our eyes. Our eyes, another God-given gift, are incredibly perceptive at picking up real versus computer-generated. Even 5 years ago, Star Wars came out with a movie where there was a computer-generated version of a classic character, and people were able to see that that was a real actor doing the motion, but a computer-generated face and a computer-generated set of eyes. We can still see in the eyes of a character whether or not they're real. It's like our own Holy Spirit human radar. We can detect when a character on the screen is computer-generated or not. Still, even with the Unreal Engine, there are moments when you see the kind of those dead eyes in a character. But what you can see now in these characters are much more photorealistic, with skin tones, with glossiness accurate to skin, glossiness accurate to eyes, but also glossiness accurate to objects in motion relative to a single light source, a projected sun somewhere in the scene. They've created a mock game that people can use to see what Unreal Engine is capable of. The mock game is loosely based on the movie series, The Matrix. An entire city with parked and moving cars is available for people to play and experiment. Those cars can be shot at. Those cars can be crashed into each other with realism, with photorealism, in a way that has never been seen before.
It is mind-boggling, absolutely incredible what you're describing. Can you imagine what it took to develop the software to be able to have these kind of virtual capabilities and make it look so real with such full resolution?
Well, that's what 40 years of continuous improvement and investment in research and development provides. From Pong, from Pac-Man, every generation gets better. Every generation has better hardware to show objects on the screen. The people that developed Pac-Man back in the 80s wanted more realism, but couldn't get it because of the tools they had available to them and the way that they had to deliver a game to gamers in the world. Now we not only have better tools for the creators themselves, but also have better tools for all of us to watch those images in action. The last thing I'll say about this Unreal Engine is it's actually blurring that line between movies and video games. There are movie corporations who project the video game environment around actors and actresses, and they don't have to produce as many realistic backgrounds and settings. So again, coming back to Star Wars, I'm showing some of my other fandom here, and the new streaming shows from Star Wars have walls around the characters and the actors that are projected video game screens using Unreal Engine in order to save on time and cost to produce new TV shows. That background has been generated by video game designers. Those planets, those worlds, those skyscapes are all video game rendered.
Absolutely amazing. Mark, here, we're headed down the stretch here of the last quarter of this year with Halloween, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas right around the corner. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to be talking about the Christmas tech deals. Can you give us a little sneak preview of what's coming up for Christmas?
Sneak preview is people are going to be unloading their hardware inventory because it just didn't sell very well the first half of this year. People during the pandemic 2 years loaded up on plenty of home tech. So we're going to see voice activated speakers, laptops, monitors, TVs. We're going to see gaming systems all on sale. And so that's just a we'll get into each of those categories a little more in future Tech Tuesdays. But that's a little teaser. We're going to see more of that hardware that didn't sell very well the first half of 2022 available for all of us at much more reasonable prices. The other thing that you're going to see are the brand new generation of wearable products. Again, and just another sneak preview. We'll dive more deeply into it. But Apple Watch has a new generation, three different watches at different price points available. You've got a Pixel Watch from Google, and you've got a Samsung Galaxy Watch from Samsung. So a lot of competition, and that is good for us consumers. It brings down prices and pushes new and interesting features out to us, puts those features in our hands at a more reasonable price.
Well, Mark, as always, fascinating stuff. Many great deals to talk about coming up. I appreciate your perspective and insights as always.
All glory and praise be to our Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. We need to take a short break when we come back. Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, suburban Chicago, will join us to discuss ways to increase our Eucharistic devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, as you probably know by now, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has called for a Eucharistic revival over the next 3 years that also includes the Eastern Catholic Churches here in the U.S. How do we enter even more fully into the joy and spirit of this time to deepen our amazement, our love and devotion to our Eucharistic Lord Jesus, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament? Joining us live this morning is Father Mihailo Kuzma to share some ways to increase our devotion to the Holy Eucharist, some practical things that just about anyone can do to go deeper in our understanding of the Holy Eucharist. Father Kuzma is the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, suburban Chicago, which is also the shrine of the new martyrs of Ukraine. Good morning, Father Kuzma. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's always a joy to be with you.
And it's a wonderful joy to be with you, and I'm really excited because when we talk about Jesus, which is the topic today, you know, we're talking about everything, the source and summit of our faith, as you know, the Eucharist. But the Eucharist, again, sometimes we talk about Eucharist, but we're talking about a person. It's truly Jesus Christ who is the Eucharist. He is found, he is hidden in the Eucharist, and there's nothing more important in our faith, in our Catholic faith, in our relationship with him. So I thank you for this time to be with you, and also enjoy just to talk with you again. It's been a little while.
Yes, it has. Well, Father Kuzma, I'd love to get your thoughts on the importance and the timing of this Eucharistic revival that the U.S. bishops have been calling for. I think now more than ever, America needs Jesus. America needs the Holy Eucharist.
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing that the bishops have come up with, and I praise God for that. I'm sort of a realistic person in the sense of not negative, but, you know, I believe we should have started this many years ago. There was a place in Spain, perhaps you've heard of it, Garabanda in Spain, where a lady appeared to several children then, 64, and basically the center of her discussions, her teaching, her apparitions to those children was Eucharist, was about how important, that's back then, to develop a relationship with Christ, Eucharistic adoration, love of our Eucharistic Lord, spending time in church with our Lord and whatnot. You know, the statistics are very, very sad. You know, 30% of Catholics are convinced or truly believe that Christ is present in the Eucharist, and 60% are not sure or question it or think it's just symbolic. Thank God we started now. Sadly, we didn't start before, but, you know, late is better than never. So praise God for that.
Let's praise God for sure. Right? You know, Father Kuzma, you know, Father Rocky here, our Relevant Radio CEO, has always reminded us that those statistics may be realistic in the greater Catholic world here in our country. But among our Relevant Radio listeners, we believe that our numbers are way higher than that. We have a very strong devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, to the Holy Eucharist here on Relevant Radio.
I believe that maybe even 100% of your listeners, because anyone who is that serious, that they're going to make time in their day to listen to your wonderful station. I mean, these are people very serious. And when I say 30% of Catholics, you know, we're including all those who don't go to church, who are baptized Catholic or whatnot. We know that the percentage of Catholics who do worship regularly and even more so practice their faith is much, much higher. Those who believe in the Eucharistic presence of our Lord.
Absolutely. Father Kuzma, how can we enter more fully into the joy and the spirit of this time to deepen our amazement, our love and devotion to our Eucharistic Lord Jesus Christ?
You know, for me, I'm a simple person. You know, if you want to come to know Jesus, who is present in the Eucharist, it's like any other person. If I want to spend time to know you, John, that means you're important. I want to spend time listening to you, hearing your ideas, coming to understand what's important for you, what's not important, your way of thinking, your philosophy, what you believe, and so forth. There's only one way of doing it, and spending time with you, being there for one another, relating, communicating on a very sincere, open level. Our Lord wants an intimate relationship with each one of us. He knows us inside out. He created us. It is in our mother's wombs. He knows everything about us, but he's calling us and always has been calling us for 2,000 years. Come to know me. Come to know me personally. Come to know me intimately. Come spend time with me. There's no other way of really coming to know Christ more and more and more fully. I mean, we're talking about a real intimate relationship than spending time with him. I don't know if you've ever heard of the book In Sino Jesu. It's the Latin words, In Sino Jesu. On the breast of Jesus, the Last Supper, our Lord Jesus Christ was present. John, his beloved disciple, was right there by him, resting his head on his bosom, on his breast. And, you know, on his breast, you know, we can see maybe or imagine his head is against the heart of Jesus. He probably is hearing his heartbeat. Everything's going through Jesus' mind and heart and spirit at that particular time. That's the relationship that Jesus wants, that God wants for us, that Our Lady wants for us with Jesus, God's Son, Jesus' Son. And this is something that each one of us can develop very easily. All it means is we're going to take Jesus seriously. We're going to take our faith seriously, which tells us that Jesus is truly body, blood, soul, divinity, present in the Eucharist, and we're going to make the time. We all choose, as you know, we decide what's important in our lives. The more time I give to something, obviously that reflects what's important in my life. If the average Catholic and the average American has time for hours of television every day, we have to ask ourselves the question seriously, how much time do I have for that which is most important, for my Savior, for spending time, you might say, in heaven, here on earth, as much as is possible. So this is something that is available for every person. You know, I pray for the day that my parish and every parish in this country can be open 24/7 as it should be, people come in, even for a minute or two or five or 10 or an hour, or whatever time they have, to come spend time in the presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. That is the norm. That's what should be in every one of our parishes. And thank God for the Catholic parishes that have chapels for Eucharistic adoration, where people can come in truly, constantly. You know, Marytown comes to mind for our Chicago listeners. There's this wonderful Franciscan church in Marytown in Mundelein, and it's open 24/7. And there's always people present there 24/7 in front of our Lord, praying on their behalf, on our behalf, and various intentions and so forth. And it's just a marvel to go up there. So anyone who's never been there, go up there. You're also you can also make your confession every day, Monday to Friday. Confessionals are open for us to come in even closer to our Lord, because let's face it, as we keep our soul cleansed and purified or whatnot, we're more receptive and open to everything Jesus wants to tell us and everything Jesus wants to give us. So, I mean, I get excited when we talk about our Lord present in the Eucharist, because again, it's what our faith is all about. It's a relationship. Oh, Pope Benedict, our Pope Emeritus, once said, he said, Christianity truly begins when one has an encounter with the living Lord. You know, many of us are raised in the faith, including myself, went to church, went through catechism, believed the faith of the Catholic Church, but maybe did not have a personal relationship. You know, our Protestant brothers talk about a personal relationship. They got it right on. Jesus wants us to have a personal relationship that we can say, I know him. Not, I just believe. I just know about him. I know him. I spent time with him. I've experienced him. I've heard him. And this is available for each one of us. So let us make time, each one of us, to go to a local parish outside of the Mass, outside of the Divine Liturgy, and outside of services, to spend time quietly with our Lord.
How much more intimate than to be able to encounter our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Holy Eucharist, in the Blessed Sacrament. And that's really what it's all about. Before we continue talking about some practical ways that we can grow closer to Jesus, to have a more intimate relationship with him in the Holy Eucharist, I would love for you, Father, to share with us that beautiful prayer that the Eastern Rite Catholics pray right before receiving Holy Communion. You gave me a holy card with our Lord on it. Absolutely beautiful. I am the bread of life. Just a breathtaking icon of Christ. But the prayer is so powerful that I would love for you to share that with our Western Roman Catholic brothers and sisters.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Now, this prayer is said right before we start receiving, right before we get in line to receive our Lord, body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist at our daily at our Eucharistic services, Mass or Divine Liturgy. Now, what I'd like to say is this: when we use this prayer just before receiving Holy Communion, try to picture Jesus. He's right in front of you there. He's in that chalice and whatnot, and you're talking to him, and you say these words. You're talking to him personally. I believe, O Lord, I confess you are truly Christ, the Son of the living God, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. Accept me this day, O Son of God, as a partaker of your mystical supper. I will not tell the mystery to your enemies, nor will I give you a kiss as did Judas. Like the thief, I confess to you, remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Remember me, O Master, when you come into your kingdom. Remember me, O Holy One, when you come into your kingdom. May the partaking of your holy mysteries, O Lord, be unto me, not for judgment or condemnation, but for the healing of soul and body. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, cleanse me of my sins. Have mercy on me. I have sinned without number. Forgive me, O Lord. You know, we're right there, you might say, at the Last Supper with John. The other apostles were looking at him, and he's going to give us his body and blood, because as he did at the Last Supper, he gives himself to us personally in the Holy Eucharist.
Absolutely beautiful, beautiful prayer. And there's a lot in that prayer. It takes great humility. It takes great faith. And it's a wonderful gift that Catholics of the Western Rite can also pray this prayer, which I'm sure it's available online as part of the Divine Liturgy.
Well, I'm sure it's online somewhere. I haven't looked it up recently or whatnot, because obviously we've been saying this since we were little children. In the Ukrainian Catholic Church, look up Eastern Catholic faith. There are many, obviously, any Eastern Catholic website of churches might have it, but even look up the prayer. You know, prayer before communion in Eastern Catholic churches should be able to find it. But again, I want to underline: picture your presence with the Lord. I think, you know, that's one of the beautiful ways we can pray. We can sort of picture, if we have that gift or develop that gift of seeing Jesus, we're present with him, looking at him, and also not only talking, also spending a few minutes every day where sometimes we don't do listening, just learning to be still, let him do what he wants to do in us and for us and speak to us. And as it says in this prayer, cleanse my sins, have mercy on me, but also sin with hunger, forgive me, O Lord, heal me. We pray for healing of soul and body. Just as in confession, we're talking about a healing sacrament, the Eucharist, confession, heal, soul, and even we say body. And there have been, you know, Mother Angelica received a healing. Other people have received healings in the presence of our Eucharistic Lord. So this is a reality. This is real. This is just not just the wonderful words. It can. Many people have come that I've met have come to greater relationship with our Lord in the presence of our Lord Jesus in their local church.
Father Kuzma, I want to invite our listeners, if you have a comment or question on increasing your Eucharistic devotion, our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Holy Eucharist, this true encounter with the living Lord. We're taking your calls for Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception, Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois. You can call us at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. If you'd love to maybe share your devotion to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Father Kuzma. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Yes, indeed. We're talking about ways to increase our Eucharistic devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament and the Holy Eucharist. As we continue our discussion this morning with Morning Air contributor Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, in the suburbs of Chicago. If you want to be part of our conversation, if you are passionate about our Lord truly present in the Holy Eucharist, in the Blessed Sacrament. We're taking your calls for Father Kuzma, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Before we get back to Father Kuzma, real quick, I just want to give you a little reminder in case you haven't had a chance to do so. So up to this point, that we've been talking about it for a while. If you'd like a free copy of Patrick Madrid's new book, Inquisition, with the accent on the quiz part, this is your last chance. Get yours before they're all gone at relevantradio.com/quiz. Test your knowledge of the Catholic faith and have some fun quizzing your family and friends. I've got my copy right here, signed by Patrick himself in studio. You can get your very own free copy of Inquisition today before it's too late. There's no shipping or handling charges. The book is absolutely free. Don't miss out. Sign up this morning. Do it this morning at relevantradio.com/quiz. That's relevantradio.com/quiz. Father Kuzma, welcome back.
Great to be with you as always.
Father, let's talk about a few practical things that we can do. First of all, preparation. Can you talk about how we can prepare ourselves for the holy sacrifice of the Mass or the divine liturgy in the Eastern Rite?
Well, there's many things we can do. You know, for a family, let's say a family today with little children. So they're driving to church. Hopefully this family is a family gets together and prays every day, even if it's a minute or two, but together, so important, husband, wife, children. But you're driving to church. And so you're saying, you know, we're going to Jesus, to visit Jesus. And little kids, even before they've made their first confession, you say, okay, we're going to ask one another for forgiveness. If we had an argument, or we said a few unkind words, or we didn't act properly or whatnot, and the children learn already on the way to church in their own little way to repent, to acknowledge their sins, to ask for forgiveness of one another. That's a way for little children. But we who are adults, I believe, you know, every sincere Catholic should meet in church at least 5 minutes before the liturgy begins. You have time to calm down. You have time to sort of just get set, your soul, your spirit set for what's going to happen, for this marvelous, marvelous gift to the church we call the Divine Liturgy, repetition of the Last Supper. And we should hopefully be in a state of grace. If not, well, as soon as possible, let's make a good confession. We haven't had time for confession. Go make an examination of conscience real quickly. Ask the Holy Spirit, show me at least all my major sins. Ask God for the gift of true sorrow, repentance for that sin or whatnot. Tell God, Lord, you know, I really am sorry. I'm going to do everything I can not to repeat these sins, even though we know probably we will, but we're serious. We're going to say, Lord, please help me to not repeat these sins. Another thing that is very powerful and useful for some people that I know is, you know, they read the readings. We have the readings. They know what the readings are for that particular Sunday. Read the epistle, read the gospel, as we have in the Eastern Church. And contemplate them and think about them. What is the Lord saying to me in these things? We then, you might say, are more receptive and open when we hear that reading, and more receptive to the homily, to the sermon that's going to be given by the priest. You know, our whole life, I would say, is a preparation. It's not something we should just limit to the time before the beginning of the Divine Liturgy, before the beginning of the Mass. It's something we do constantly. The more we develop the relationship with Christ, the more we're going to want to be there. And that's, for me, very important about the liturgy, wanting to be there. It's not just something I got to do. It's an obligation. It's a sin if I don't go there. It's like if I spend time with you, if I go visit you, John, because I have to, that's different from, hey, you've invited me. I want to be there with you because you're such a wonderful guy. I want to spend time with you, with your family. I want to have a nice meal, like the Last Supper, and just enjoy one another's company, learn about one another, share our lives together, cry together if necessary, you know, all of those things. That's what we want to try to attain. And so all of our lives is a preparation. I just want to share a story that just came to mind right now. You know, when I was a young seminarian, I studied in Rome. I studied in Rome with this marvelous, marvelous person. His name was Patriarch Justice Lippe. He had been in prison 18 years in Siberia when the Ukrainian Catholic Church was made illegal by the Soviets in 1944. All of our bishops rounded up. Many of our priests, you know, the Catholic Church was closed down, was not allowed, it was illegal. And he came out and he established, among other things, a seminary in Rome. I used to work. He lived in the Vatican. I used to work in his apartment sending out books throughout the world to Ukrainian parishes and so forth. I remember this one time I was walking from the room that we were packing books to the front where the nuns were to ask for something, some water or tea or whatever it might have been. And along the way, you got to pass the chapel. He was in there kneeling. The doors were closed. And I stopped. This man was talking out loud and asking questions of our Lord. I was just taken aback. I mean, I'm a young guy, maybe 19 years old or whatnot. He's talking to the Lord. As far as I know, I really believe he was probably getting answers. But he was spending time where? In the chapel. Because this is where Jesus is present. You know, There's many saints throughout the centuries in the Eastern tradition.
I think Saint Monica. A personal relationship, par excellence, a true relationship, an encounter with the living Lord. Father, before we run out of time, I want to squeeze in a listener. Patty is joining us this morning from Sycamore, Illinois. Patty, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Kuzma.
Welcome, Patty.
Good morning, Father.
Good morning.
Yes. Well, Father, I was calling to thank you for all of your guidance throughout the years. When I married my husband, I was born Roman Catholic and married into the Byzantine faith. And actually, Father Mikhailo baptized our son Michael. And I really wanted to encourage Roman Catholics to please visit the shrine. The Byzantine liturgy is beautiful, and we in our house have many, many icons in our house that kind of center us before we go to church and spend time with our Lord. My husband and I do adoration every Tuesday at our local church out here, and a good part of that is because of all the guidance from Father Mikhailo and how he helped us to deepen our faith. And so I just wanted to thank him for guiding our family for a very long time.
You're very welcome. You know, what a pleasure it is for a priest to be able to have any kind of positive influence with any person that he or she meets, irrespective of faith, race, creed, color, whatnot. But the fact that you called in means a lot to me, and I just want to, I promise you, I'll keep praying. What you just said is very important. I encourage everybody, at least 1 hour a week, spend time in the presence of our Eucharistic Lord. Go to your parish. If you don't have it, tell your priest you want it. He'll be taken aback. He'll say, whoa, wow. And he'll find a way, keeping that church open, people may be able to spend an hour a week. That'll do so much to increase our faith. So thank you for calling, and God's blessings to you, your family.
Thanks so much, Patty. I really appreciate the call. Father Kuzma, less than a minute to go. Final thoughts. Your suggestions here to grow closer to our Lord is for both East and West. This Eucharistic revival is for all Catholic brothers and sisters.
Nothing else I'd like to pass on. Please get yourself a copy of this book, In Sinu Jesu, Insinu Jesu, Latin words for On the Breast of Jesus. This is written by a priest monk, not written by a priest monk. It was dictated, interlocution. These interlocutions were approved by his bishop. This book came out. Jesus speaks to him and from him to all of us. These words are magnificent.
Father, we're going to have to leave it right there. Unfortunately, we are just out of time. Thanks so much. Father Mikhailo Kuzma, pastor of Immaculate Conception, Ukrainian Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois. Now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Wranglers and Stranglers. Many years ago, there was a group of brilliant young men at the University of Wisconsin. The group of men seemed to have an amazing literary talent, and they were extraordinary in their ability to create with words. These promising young men met regularly to read and critique each other's writing. These men were merciless while they criticized one another. They discussed the most minute of expressions offered and used tough and often mean criticism on each other's work. Their meeting sessions became harsh arenas of literary criticism, and the members of this exclusive club called themselves the Stranglers. Not to be excluded from the opportunity to expand their literary skills, a group of female writers at the university started a club of their own, one comparable to the Stranglers. The members called themselves the Wranglers. The members of the club, too, presented their literary pieces in front of each other, but the feedback from the members was much softer, more positive, and more encouraging. Every effort from a member, even the most feeble, was encouraged by all. After 20 years, a university alum was doing a study of his classmates' careers when he noticed a huge difference in the accomplishments of the Stranglers and the Wranglers. Among all the brilliant young men in the Stranglers, none had made any significant literary achievements, but the Wranglers had several successful writers and some renowned national literary stars. The talent and education between the two groups was almost the same. There was not a significant difference. But you see, the Stranglers strangled each other while the wranglers gave each other a lift. The stranglers created an atmosphere of contention and self-doubts, while the wranglers brought out the best in each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 finds St. Paul reminding us, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing.
Thanks so much, Glenn, as always. Now, coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will tell us about 5 signs that you are not exercising your love ability. And Catholic apologist William Albrecht will have answers to the most common objections that people have about the Catholic faith. Stay with us, America. There's a lot more to come. Next hour here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.